Good evening. Welcome to episode 47 of Anticipate and Await. We're talking about the coming of Mashiach. And in our previous episode, we dealt with the suggestion that maybe it's not such a good idea to keep asking God for Mashiach. I mean, this incessant entreaty isn't working. We've been at it now for more than 1950 years. And the Rebbe addressed this very subject in a groundbreaking sicha, in which he specifically pointed out that there are those who maintained that by virtue of a Talmudic tradition, in which our sages taught us that asking God when he isn't answering makes God look bad and us look petty. And as such, the suggestion that we need to just stop. Just give it up. You know, ask for other things. So in a previous episode, we saw how the Rebbe demonstrated the misguided nature of that approach. A casual reading of the Gemara, just a sentence or two later, indicates the inapplicability of that idea into our present situation. And that Verbrengen, the Rebbe went a lot further. In addition to the various proofs that he introduced from the book of Tehillim, the book of Psalms itself, and from our prayers, the Rebbe began to analyze the concept of prayer itself. And that brings us to this episode, Mashiach. Is it a need or a luxury? Now you might say, well, what difference does that make? Well, it actually makes all the difference in the world. First, let me take a moment to remind you something that we've talked about in great detail in the earlier episodes, and that is that the need for Mashiach is not connected to horrible massacres, atrocities, rapes, or suffering of the Jewish people. Although, of course, when we experience this terrible reality and see the surge of anti-Semitism around the world, it's only natural for us to raise our hands to heaven and say, "Ribbono shel Olam, we need Mashiach." But the truth is, what we're really saying is, we need a normal world, a world that shouldn't hate us for no reason, a world that should give us the same courtesy, the same respect and rights that it affords every other human being. Why is it that we, the Jewish people, Hashem's chosen nation, should be singled out for such bad treatment? Well, who says it has to be so? I mean, clearly everything that happens is ordained by Hashem, but we have had many times during our long and often painful galut that weren't so bad or painful. Did we need Mashiach less in those times? Chas v'shalom, heaven forfend. This really betrays the essence of what Mashiach's about. If that sounds strange, please go back and watch the earlier episodes. In a word, the coming of Mashiach is defined as the era in which the knowledge of Hashem will fill the entire universe. The awareness of the Creator will pervade every iota of existence. That's what our sages and our prophets yearn for. This defines the essence of the Jewish desire, a desire that has punctuated observance, Torah study, prayer, and really every thread of what we could rightfully call the tapestry of Torah true Judaism is filled with this yearning for a better tomorrow. The concept of Mashiach is all about the knowledge of Hashem, knowing God. So is that is that really necessary? I mean, can't we serve God and go through our lives without knowing God so well? We're studying Torah, we're performing mitzvah, we're doing good things. Why wouldn't that be good enough? Oh, of course, Mashiach's coming, that would be fantastic, a wonderful luxury. But in the meantime, we have many mitzvot to perform and lives filled with meaning to lead. Ah, this, my friends, is the mistake. So let us begin in the words of the great Maimonides, the Rambam, who at the outset of the laws of tefillah, the laws of prayer, which is in the second book of his magnum opus, his codes, Mishneh Torah. The Rambam's halachot, which govern prayer and the blessings of Kohanim, Perek Aleph in the first chapter, Halacha Beis, section 2. First, he talks about the mitzvah of prayer being non-time bound and applicable to everybody, all genders, no difference. So what is the chiyuv of mitzvah zu? What is the obligation of this mitzvah? And as the Kesef Mishnah explains, what the Rambam is getting at is, if it isn't a time-bound mitzvah, so shacharit, which is morning prayers, that's not biblical. Mincha, which is an afternoon prayer, that can't be the biblical idea of prayer, because then prayer would be time-bound. And if it's time-bound, it's only applicable to certain segments of the population. And here the Rambam is making this broad, overarching statement that prayer is not time-bound and applicable for all of us equally. Well, in that case, it's not the shacharit, mincha, ma'ariv prayer, the morning, afternoon, or evening prayers as we know them. What then is the obligation of prayer? So his self-imposed mandate now is to define the obligation. Says the Rambam, chiyuv mitzvah zu, the obligation of this mitzvah. Well, it's like this. Shehe odom mispalelu mischanen b'chol yom. That a person should pray, that a person should plead, should ask before Hashem every single day. Umagid shivcho shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He should speak of the praise of God. This is about mindfulness. This is about an awareness of God's greatness and of our needs. And that, no, we can't live without God in our life. So after Magid Shivcho, speaking of God's glory and praise, which is how we nurture that emotional bond and connection with God, Va'achar kach sho'el tzrachav. And after doing this, a person asks for his or her needs. So asking for your needs, that is the essence of prayer. That's how we define tefillah. The things shehu tzorich lohem, the things that you need. And you ask it bivakosha, you ask it as a request, ubitchina, you plead your case before Hashem. You're asking for your needs. From the very fact that the Rambam doesn't say, you read the Siddur, or mouth the words, but rather you're asking, you're mitpalel, you're connecting, you're mitchanen, you're pleading, it's clear that one has to actually mean what he or she is saying. As the Rebbe points out in an incredible edited sicha, which is found in Lakuta Sichas in the 34th volume on page 214 onward, the Rebbe points out that there are many mitzvot that require intention. Some mitzvot are like the mitzvah of sukkah, where we are mindful of the fact that God took us out of Mitzrayim, and that's an important part of the fulfillment of the mitzvah. The mitzvah is to dwell in the sukkah, and there's an obligation for us to be mindful. There's a mitzvah which is called tzitzit, the fringes, the tassels. They're there to remind us so that we will see, so that we will remember. There's a mitzvah called tefillin. And as the Magen Avraham points out in his commentary on Shulchan Aruch, it is a part of the mitzvah to be mindful of why we're putting on the tefillin. Shibud halev ha-mayach, the devotion of one's mind, one's intelligence, and one's heart and emotions to Hashem. Yet, the Rebbe says, when it comes to prayer, it isn't simply something you do with intention. The intention of the prayer, that is the prayer. The prayer is, Shehe Adam Ischanen. The prayer is that we're asking for our needs. If you're not asking for your need, if you don't need this, it's not a prayer. If you're not pleading Hashem with Hashem and begging Him, please, I need this. That's not the mitzvah of tefillah. okay, you say, that's fine. So I'm going to ask for the things that I need. Very well. Let us take a look a little bit further in the Rambam. In Halacha Dalad, the Rambam speaks about the concept of our prayers. You know, the prayers you're familiar with, the Siddur, the prayer book, which, by the way, is much older than most of the world's faith systems. Takes us back about 25 centuries. Kevan Shagolu Yisrael b'mei Nebuchadnezzar ha-Rasha. The Rambam says, since the Jewish people were exiled by the wicked, evil Nebuchadnezzar, Nisarvu b'poras v'yovan, they became mixed into the general population. The Persian Empire, the Greek Empire, v'shar ha'umas of the nations. Neldu lehem bonim ba'arotzes ha'goyim. They gave birth to offspring, to children, in strange lands, the lands of other nations. V'otan habanim nitbal b'lasfatam. Those children couldn't speak Hebrew properly. They were unable to express themselves in a crisp and a clear fashion. V'hayta sfat kol echad ve'echad me'orevet milshonot harbe. They spoke a jargon of languages. V'kevan shehoyim medaber. And because that's the way they'd communicate, in yochel edaber kol tzrochav b'loshon achat. They couldn't make a request, a heartfelt request, a sincere request, an emotional plea, without mixing different languages in, because they didn't have the proficiency in articulation. Shenemar, as it is written, and here, the Rambam quotes a verse that is found in the book of Nehemiah, chapter 13, verse 24. Now, to be sure, the verse 23 talks about the fact that many people had married out of the faith. As Nehemiah says in great frustration, Ra'iti, I saw as Hayehudim Hoshivu Noshim Ashdudiot Ammoniot Moaviot. I saw that the Judeans had married Ashdodite, Ammonite, and Moavite women. And they'd taken these foreign wives they weren't supposed to marry. But that's not what the Rambam quotes. The Rambam simply quotes verse 24, which says, Uvnehem and their children, Chatzi Medaber Ashdudit. Half of their children, which are of mixed heritage, were speaking Ashdodit, like the residents of Ashdod, who at the time were not the Jewish people, although Ashdod is part of Eretz Yisrael. They did not know how to speak the Judean language, the language of that we call Hebrew, because they were the offspring of various mothers of different descent, a hodgepodge of nations. And, you know, you're raised by your mother. So your mother tongue is the way you become proficient in articulation. And as such, the people would speak, but they would speak in a manner, ain't a makirim ledaber Yehudit. They couldn't speak in traditional Hebrew. And instead, uchelshoin am va'om, each people according to its language. And here we had people or children coming from different people, so there was a mixture of languages. So what do you do? It says the Rambam, mepnei zeh, because of this, kishaho yo'echad mehem mitpalel. When one would set out to pray, tiktsar lashono, he would find himself short of words, unable to express and articulate, lishol chafotzav, to ask for his needs. Or even lahagid shevach HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he couldn't properly speak of God's praise in lashon HaKadosh, in the holy tongue. And the only way he could do it was by reaching for other languages. Achi yorev ima lashonot achirot. Says the Rambam, V'kevan shara Ezra u'beddinokach. Since Ezra and his beddin saw that this was the case, omdu v'tiknu lahem shmeina esebrachis. So our sages rose and established for them 18 blessings. There are three blessings which are shevach. They essentially convey Hashem's praise. The last three, hodaya, acknowledgement of Hashem, ve'emtzayot, and the middle blessings, Yesh bohem she'elat kol hadvorim, the middle blessings of the Shmon Esrei. So they used to have 18 blessings in the Shmon Esrei. So if you would minus 3 from the beginning and you'd subtract 3 from the end and you have 18, you're left with a middle of 11 blessings. Now we have 19 blessings. So if we're going to take 6 off, we end up with 12 blessings. But the bottom line is these middle blessings are she'elat kol hadvarim. This is where we get to ask for right, our needs. Kimo shehein avot l'chol cheftze ish ve'ish. These 11 or 12 blessings become the, if you will, the parents meaning the primary source of all the needs we have. The needs we have. The prayer is where we express before Hashem our needs. And it's not just the needs of Cheftzei Ish V'Yish, not just the needs of each individual one, but rather, L'tzorche HaTzibur, this is also the needs of the community as a plurality, as a whole. Itzi has a question, side question, that I'm learning that Lashon HaKodesh is part of the mitzvah of Tefillah and Bakasha. No, I don't think that that means that Rambam's learning the mitzvah is only in Hebrew. I think that the Rambam is telling us it's best in Hebrew, but the mitzvah of prayer should be in a proper fashion. And in order to make a request in a proper fashion, one has to have a single language, so to speak, a homogeneous or straightforward language, rather than flitting between different forms of expression. So it's pretty clear in the Rambam that our prayers are our basic needs. This entire idea is expressed in much greater and more colorful detail in the words of Sefer Avudarham. Sefer Avudarham is an incredible compilation of, very early compilation of the daily ritual of a Torah Jew. And in the Sha'ar Hasheni, in the second gate of what Avudarham calls the Tfilot Shel Chol, the weekday prayers, he sets out, in his own words, Levo'er bo tikun hatfilot v'inyoneim, to explain the establishment, the injunction of prayer, what it's all about. And here, the Avudarham adds a little bit of depth and history. He says, Miyemot Moshe Rabbeinu, from the days of the great Moses, our teacher, Va'adzman shachorav beit kodshenu utfarteinu, to that time in which our house, our holy and glorified house, which is the house of Hashem, was destroyed. The Golu Yisrael ben Ha'umot Ha'olam, the Jewish people were driven into exile amongst the nations, Ba'avur Chetam U'Malolam, due to sin and iniquity. Vinis Orvu B'Techagoyim Ha'im, they became mixed amongst these nations, and Avudarham chooses to lean on a verse in Psalms, Psalm 106, verse 35, Vayis'orvu bagoyim, David HaMelech, King David, looking forward into the future, says they will become mixed or assimilated amongst the nations. Vayilmedu ma'aseim, they will learn from their deeds, which Avudarham understands maybe to refer to their inappropriate intermarriage, which led to Jewish people who couldn't articulate themselves properly. Maybe it means ma'aseim, their inability to express themselves in Hebrew, I don't know. But at any rate, he invokes this verse. The Rambam pointedly does not. And he says, Noldu lehem bonim ba'aretz haseim, they gave birth to children. Va'otam ha'bonim asher kamu achareihem, and these generations who rose, ha'isa sfatam mishubeshet, their language was confused. It was a confusion of languages. Me'orevet milshonot nachrut, the mixture of foreign tongues. Moaviot, Ammoniot, Edomiot, Tzidoniot, Chitiot. Picks up a range of different nations, interestingly suggesting perhaps that the languages of Ashdodite are not actually Ashdodite languages, but rather the languages of Edom and Sidon. At any rate, he says the bottom line is Lehoyo Yochel Echad Mehem Lehitpalel. They couldn't pray. Ledaber, to speak. What couldn't they pray? How couldn't they pray? Ledaber called Tzorkoi. He couldn't express himself b'lashon ivrit. Ki'im b'shibush. Only in a manner that was mistaken, incorrect. Tarovet l'shon nochres, a mixture of different languages. And the language of Hebrew, the holy tongue, is falling into disuse. Says Avudarham, kashero anshe kneses agdele zeis. When the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah saw this, they said, L'chu v'ne'elcho ba'or elokeinu, let us walk in the illuminated path of our God. And the God, the light of our God, v'nishalma parin sfateinu, God tells us that when we can't bring offerings or korbanot, we are able to complete that task by virtue of our lips. Anachnu v'chol kahal ladateinu, us and all of our congregation, we must establish a prayer. a prayer that should be b'safa brura, in a clear, crisp, and concise language. In Lashon Ketzada, it should be forthright. Zaka, ubara, language that is pure, language that's devoid of sediment, a language that is straightforward, purged and cleansed of any foreign tongues. Avudraham adds, Shaniyu kulonu yachad, mitpallim b'sof achad, so that all of us, the entirety of the nation of Israel, should be able to pray in a common tongue. And he speaks about the Shmon Esrei, the 18 blessings. And Avudraham later clearly states that the first three are Sheva Chabayra. We are going to be praising the Creator. The last three, Kavod V'Hoda'ah, God's honor, glory, acknowledgement. And then he says, V'Shlosh Esrei Brachot HaEmtzayot, the 13 middle ones, because we have 19 minus 6 gives us 13. He says, these 13 middle ones are Tzorchei Yisrael Amo, the needs of his nation. And here he adds the words that the middle blessings are domot le'eved, are compared to a servant, shemevakesh peros mirabo, a servant who asks for his portion. In the vernacular, you're asking for your daily bread, your daily needs. Avudraham emphasizes later, ki emtzaoyot heim tzorchei ha'odom, they are the needs of an individual. So it covers the needs of a nation, they are the needs of us as individuals. Now at the Farbrengen, the Rebbe didn't cite the Avudraham. I'm adding that in for emphasis. The Rebbe only cited the Rambam. But the Rebbe said this. The Rebbe said, and I'm reading to you from the Hanocha, from the unedited edition. Uvechein, as mentioned, this is a sicha from Shabbos Achri Meis Kedoshim. The year is Tavshin Mem Gimel. Tavshin Mem Hei, 1985. Spring of 1985. So I'm quoting from the Hebrew record of what was written after Shabbos. Anshei Knesset Hagdola Omdu v'herichu es daito shakol echod v'echod miYisrael. The nation of Israel was essentially estimated by the sages. They estimated our nation. They took a hard look at who we are, what we will need as individuals. And they said, v'ro, they saw, shecheftzei shakol ish v'ish, that the basic needs of every single person, tzorche hatzibur kulei, the needs of the nation in its entirety, are as we read in Shmon Esrei, es tzemach David avdecho meheiros atzmiach, that one of the 13 blessings, or 12 blessings, one of those middle blessings is the blessings in which we say, that es tzemach David, that the sprout of David HaMelech meheiros atzmiach should grow very quickly. We're talking about Mashiach. We're talking about the redemption. Ki because li yeshuascha kivinu kol hayom, because all day we are yearning for your salvation. It's part of the brachas ha'emtzoyes. It's part of our middle prayers. The Rebbe said, even when we get into the last of the prayers, which incidentally Avudraham has a whole discussion, he says, aren't the last of the prayers more of a request? Why do we say that they're kavod? And Avudraham answers this prayer. He says it's true that in the later prayers we seem to be speaking about the honor of Hashem, not only our needs, but he says nonetheless, ultimately, it's the honor of Hashem along with some of the things that we require. But the middle is certainly our needs. And the Rebbe pointed out that we say, v'sechazeno einenu b'shuv cholitzim b'rachamim. We say in our prayer, may our eyes behold the return to Zion and with Hashem's compassion. It's in our prayers every single day. And the Rebbe said this, Tzorech ze negeil kolkach. This is clearly so much of a need. Ad sheyachzer umevakesh zeis b'chol yom. You go and you ask for it on a daily basis, not weekly on Shabbat, not on occasion on a Yom Tov, every day. Not only every day, ubeyoyim ze atzmei, and on this very day, you ask for it not once, not twice, but three times. Kama pama. And then if we have a day of Musaf, we're asking Vesechazena a fourth time. And on Kippur, we say Vesechazena a fifth time. So what about the words of the Gemara? What about the words of the Gemara where it becomes inappropriate? As we said, if we're going to ask for too much, then maybe we're going to say, Harav Kama Kosha. How harsh is God to us? And HaTalmud Kama Sarvenu Maftzir. The student, the pupil, us, we're like petty. Keep asking. So the Rebbe said, what about that? So in addition to demonstrating that those words do not apply in our situation, and they were said in a very specific situation with regard to Moshe Rabbeinu, but nonetheless, conceptually, this idea is still an idea. So the Rebbe said the following. B'nigeilu tfilu bakosha alin ha-geula, with regard to the prayer, the entreaty, the beseeching Hashem for the redemption. Moichelu mevater HaKadosh Baruch Hu akach. On this idea, that how petty will we look, or how harsh will God seem, Hashem, he says, is ready to forgive when it comes to this. V'chol zeh, why? Because it's going to take a lot of prayers. It's taken us a lot of prayers to get here, and there's a certain amount of times that Hashem will hear the request, hopefully, when it's made for real, and Hashem can't say no anymore. And Hashem is waiting. He's waiting for us to make that prayer. He's waiting for us to fulfill our mitzvah. He's waiting for us to ask with kavana, with intention, with passion, with fervor, with craving, with yearning, with anticipation, awaiting the coming of Mashiach. Clearly, if we are to understand prayer as Torah explains it, as a need, Mashiach's coming is not a luxury. It's something we need. Maybe we don't know how much we need Mashiach, but my friends, we need Mashiach to come. The more we'll learn about Mashiach, and the more we'll be mindful of the Geula, we'll be able to pray with greater fervor, with greater focus, with greater devotion and determination. And this will all, Be'ezras Hashem, accelerate that process, hopefully bringing us the answer we've all been waiting for. Higi hazman geulaschem, that finally the time of our redemption has arrived, that Mashiach is going to broadcast to all of us that he is finally here to bring us all home and to usher world peace, world serenity, prosperity, and most importantly, universal God consciousness. May it be b'mheira u'b'yameinu speedily and in our days. Amen. Thank you so much for watching. Please share, please subscribe, and please consider being a part of spreading the word so that the tefillos, the prayers, can continue to increase in intensity and bring about their intended and desired results. Laila Tov.